Hello, everybody. God promised that he would send his son in the fullness of time, and he sent Jesus. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks, haven't we? We've also talked a lot about the prophetic words concerning Jesus. But did you know that a lot has been written about us too? That's right. Jesus is at work today. He's working, he's building, he's interceding. However, we must remember that his work in us and among us and through us is not complete. Sometimes a work in progress can seem rather messy, can it? Even in disarray. But he is working. And may the Lord give us eyes to see that, to see what he's doing. You know, Jesus once told his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes because they see." We are blessed when we see what God is doing. And that's my prayer for this morning, is that we will see what God is doing. So, yes, God has a lot to say about Jesus. He also has a lot to say in his word about us as well. And, of course, I'm talking about we as God's people. I thought today we could do something a little bit different. We could look at some of the prophetic passages about the people of God after Jesus. And it's really quite amazing. There are many passages that speak of us who've embraced the life of Christ, not just his teachings, but everything. We've invited him to come and live with us. So these are passages that pertain to those who are truly born again, those who are regenerated, who are the people of God. And what I want to do is I want to look just at the book of Isaiah. We could probably pick a lot of different books, but I want to just look at Isaiah. As we know, this has a lot to say about Jesus, the book of Isaiah. For those who've been following the Advent meditations before Christmas, you saw that. But the book also has a lot to say about us and his work in us. And very important, his plan and his destiny for us. And once again, it's because of Jesus. You know, what he did on the earth paved the way for us to have the plan or the destiny that he's given us. So I trust that these passages will encourage us, give us strength, give us grace, give us faith for what's ahead of us. So we're going to read through these passages slowly. I want you to listen carefully. Follow along in your Bibles if you can, but we will have them up here on the slides, of course, as we usually do. And I'm just going to make a few remarks about each passage to get us thinking in the right direction. So the idea is that I want you to go back and meditate and think about these verses or passages. Now, I know this is kind of a different approach from most of our messages, but I think in this case, the impact of these passages is strong enough. You know, I don't want to comment a whole lot on them, although I'm sure we could probably give a message on every one of these. So I want us to start with Isaiah 42, verses 5 through 7. Thus says the Lord God, God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I like the way God describes himself, right? He is above everything. He's created everything. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. I like that too. And I'll appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. Excuse me. As a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Actually, that verse 8 I don't think is up here, but that's okay. It's a good verse. So here he says, he has called us in righteousness. He will hold our hand. He will watch over us. And when I think about the days that we've been going through this year, and only the Lord knows what's ahead for us in 2021 and 2022, we can have confidence of this. He will hold our hand. He will watch over us. And then it says, he's called us to be the light to the nations. Now, elsewhere in Isaiah, he says the same thing about Jesus. Well, wait a minute. I thought that was about Jesus. Us too? Well, yes, because we are what? His body. And so twice in Acts 13 and in Acts 26, this verse is quoted, not pertaining to Jesus, but pertaining to the church. And really it is us too, Jesus, because it's Jesus shining through us. So he's called us to be a light to the nations. He's called us to open blind eyes. And I think we need to be thinking spiritually. The world is blind right now. They don't see what's going on. They don't see his kingdom. They don't see his loving kindness, his love. So he's called us to help open blind eyes and to bring out prisoners from the dungeon. Now, what is that about? Well, there are many people in this world, and I think probably most of us know that, that they can be prisoners to addictions, to greed, to selfishness, to lust, to all sorts of things, and unforgiveness. And he has given us a message as we are to be a light to the nations to what? To free these prisoners. Isaiah 43, next chapter. Starting verse 1, 2. Now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. I like that. And then in verse 5, it says, do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Well, I like this. It starts off, he's redeemed us. So that's why we know he's talking about the people of God. After Jesus came, he's called us by name. And he says, it's beautiful here. When we pass through the waters, the floods, when we pass through the fires, will that happen? Of course they will. And as we look at the scriptures, it's going to only increase. But what does he say? He's going to be with us. And the floods aren't going to overflow us. We will not be scorched by the fire. So a number of things there. We are going to pass through some of those things, but he's going to be with us. And then actually twice in that passage, he says, do not fear. Why does he tell us that? Because probably if it wasn't for the Lord walking through us, with us, we could have probably a lot of reason to fear. But we don't need to fear because he is with us. He's walking with us. And those verses 5, 6, and 7 I like because it says, and we're going to have offspring from the east and the west and the north and the south. He's talking about spiritual offspring here. And just amazing, beautiful promise of what God wants to be doing in us and around us and through us in these days. Isaiah 44, verse 3 and 4. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry land, ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And they will spring up among the grass like poplars by streams of water. Okay, again, he's going to pour water on the thirsty land. This is speaking spiritually, of course. And is this world thirsty? Yes, they are. They might not even know what they're thirsty for, but they're thirsty. And Jesus, through us, is going to pour out the living water. That is his plan. It says he will pour out his spirit on our offspring. There it is again. It's talking about our... And it says, and he will pour blessing upon our offspring. I mean, amazing, incredible promises here. Isaiah 45, verse 8. Drip down, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up and salvation bear fruit, and righteousness spring up with it. I, the Lord, have created it. I like the way that almost in every one of these passages, God starts off or kind of ends. I, the Lord, who did this. And in this case, I've created something. And what has he created? He's created this, what's going to be happening, where righteousness is going to be pouring down and the earth is going to open up and salvation is going to be bearing fruit. And it's talking about the earth. It's talking about the whole world here. And of course, righteousness, we know, comes what? We know this from our study of Romans, only through Jesus. But it's going to come. And sometimes we can look around, and like I said at the beginning, it looks kind of messy because works in progress often look messy. But God's doing this behind the scenes. May he open our eyes to see this. Isaiah 46, verse 9. It says, remember the former things long past. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Again, God's describing himself. Actually, a great study would just to be looking at all the ways that God describes himself just in the book of Isaiah. And he says, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I've spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely I will do it. And another beautiful verse here in Isaiah, reassuring us that he will accomplish everything that he has said. Now, just like with the first coming of Jesus, all the prophetic words, there are times, there are years, decades, centuries, we go by and it seemed like, where is God's promises? But he is telling us it is going to happen. And he will accomplish all that he says. See, he doesn't forget. He doesn't change his mind. A beautiful passage. Isaiah 54. Let's look at the first three verses. Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married one. Woman, says the Lord, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. And your descendants will possess nations. And they will resettle the desolate cities. Again, just another beautiful passage. Actually, the Lord first started speaking to me this passage back before I was married. I think I was 19 years old. And it starts off talking about, though it seems like we may have been barren, maybe it doesn't seem like a lot of the promises of all this, all these descendants and all this spiritual offspring, maybe it hasn't come like we thought it was. But that's all going to change. Because remember, God has a burden for the barren one. I mean, look how many times in scriptures, you know, God intervened in the case of those who were barren. And I think one reason he does that is to show that it's him. And just like God withheld the fish when the disciples went fishing that one time, and then when all of a sudden he spoke the word, what happened? The nets were breaking there, catching so many. And I think this passage is saying, listen, the times of barrenness are coming to an end. And get prepared, get ready. We must enlarge the place of our tent because there's going to be many, many people coming in. And he talks about our spiritual offspring again. Here he talks about our descendants. And it says that they will spread abroad to the right and to the left. And your descendants will possess nations. They will resettle the desolate cities. What is that talking about? I'm going to leave that for you to think about and decide. But it's amazing what God wants to do. Isaiah 55. And the context here is, ho, everyone who thirsts comes to the waters. It's that invitation to come to the living waters and be satisfied. But let's kind of look at verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways my ways, declared the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there with watering the earth, without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth the shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. I mean, this is going to be amazing what's going to be happening, because God's word's going to go forth. But it starts off by saying his ways are higher and different from our ways. And that's why sometimes we don't understand what he's doing unless we have our spiritual eyes open. But surely he will not let his word go forth without it doing its work and bearing fruit. Just as the rain and snow water the earth, God's word does the same thing spiritually. And so I know there's times when it seems like we're preaching the gospel, we're sharing, and it seems like, what's happening? What's happening? Let's be assured that what God has spoken will happen. It will be accomplished. We can have that confidence. Isaiah 60, just a few more here. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around you, about, and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. I like the way this starts. Arise and shine, because light is going to burst forth where darkness has been. Actually, it says in verse 2, darkness is going to cover the earth. And deep darkness is going to cover what? The peoples of this world. We're seeing that already, aren't we? This is actually very prophetic of what's happening today. But his light, his glory are going to shine through us. That's part of our destiny. That's part of God's plan for us. And so therefore he's saying in verse 4, lift up your eyes and see what he's doing. And of course, this passage is again talking about what? Our sons and daughters, spiritually speaking, again, spiritual children, that's our destiny. And we see this over and over in these passages. Our offspring, our descendants, our sons, our daughters, that's what it's talking about. Isaiah 61, verse 10 and 11. It says, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. Again, he's talking about the people of God after Jesus comes. It's obvious. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes the things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. You know, that's what God's doing. You know, he is, and that's why he's saying, we're going to rejoice greatly. We're going to exalt in the Lord. Why? Because of what the Lord's doing. We are being prepared to be the bride of Christ. And righteousness and praise are going to spring up before all the nations. Just like in the spring, what happens? Everything just comes to life all around the globe. In the same way, praise and righteousness is. And you know what? I think I forgot Isaiah 61. This is the last one here, verse 4. And the context is Jesus is talking about, you know, I've come to bring the good news to the afflicted and bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. And then it goes on in verse 4, it says, then, this is after he's done that with us, then we will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities. We've already talked about the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. What is that talking about? It's talking about ruined cities spiritually. They've been destroyed by demonic forces. And yet we have been called to what? Part of our destiny is to repair to rebuild the ancient ruins, to repair the ruined cities. Now, I want us to remember that this is just a small sampling from the book of Isaiah. I think we read 10 passages here. Much more elsewhere. In Isaiah, actually it took me a while to kind of decide which ones I wanted to do. And really throughout the scriptures, God has a lot to say about his people. Just like he had a lot to say about the first coming of Jesus. And by the way, he has a lot to say about the second coming. But he also has a lot to say about us between those two. And I encourage you to be looking at these passages as you read and study the scriptures. Not just these, but the scores of other ones. It's so clear. God has a lot for us, right? And much of it has to do with what? Reaching the nations. And also having descendants. We're going to have multitudes of descendants from all over the world, right? East, west, north, south. We are the bearers of salvation, righteousness, praise, joy, peace. And we are to be sending this message around the world. Therefore, because of this calling he's given us, we can rise up with confidence. It says, arise. God's spoken. And he says a couple times here, that just in the verses we've read, that he will accomplish his good purpose. And the way he does it is through us, his people. And our response, like Isaiah 61 says, is to rejoice in the Lord, to exalt in our God, because he's doing something. Let's pray. Father, we do ask that you would open our eyes to these things. Lord, we know that we are called blessed if we see these things. Lord, let us not see our life down here as just kind of going from birth to death and just trying to provide for our family and having fun and doing things and, oh yeah, being a good witness for you. No, Lord, it's much more than that. You have a plan for us. You have a destiny for us. You have a purpose. You have a mission for us. Open our eyes to that. And Lord, impart to us the excitement, the joy, the sense of rejoicing that comes when we really have our eyes open to see these things. Lord, we also ask that in these passages and in many others, that you would give us insight, spiritual insight into what you have for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this is basically, I know, a little bit different type of message, but I just felt like, let's just go through a string, just a sampling of these passages to see what God has for us. And hopefully this has been a real encouragement for you. Just, I guess, as far as announcements, probably the big one here is just, if you'd like to give, and especially those part of Emmanuel Fellowship, best way to do that is through your app. And we just appreciate the gifts and the offerings that come forth. And we feel really blessed to have people support us, even in this time of, you know, what's going down is a very troubling year. We just want to thank all of you for your faithfulness. Thank you. Amen.